This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.
Welcome back to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM WJBB Radio.
You're so ridiculous.
You're listening to GRE with Triple D, Devin, David, and DeBose. So, before we left to the break, we were just discussing a little
sports.
Braves spring training.
Yeah, man.
You had a couple more things
up,
we were going to jump into.
Yeah, as soon as you be quiet, I'm getting on it.
There. So, Devin, what's been going on with you lately? Kind of miss seeing you, man. How things been? Everybody okay?
Wish I had a mute button.
Houston, good, we have a problem.
That's it. Crashing and burning.
Doing great. Just traveling around the country.
Good,
yeah.
Good. Good to see you again.
Do some international travels.
Pipe down, a-hole. All right, so Malik Smith, batting in the 430s, man, doing good. He's going to be an outfielder. These three guys are going to be a big part
of
the Braves' future.
Are you sure that's not Malik?
No, it's Malik.
Okay.
M-A-L-L-E-X.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you.
My apologies. I'll slow my roll and mark down 1DB.
So they're going to be a big part of the Braves' future. Ozzie Albies and Dansby Swanson, that's going to be your shortstop second base combo of the future right there. They are just extremely, extremely talented at their positions, and that's you're going to see them up. So keep an eye on those names.
Well, it's definitely not Andrelton Simmons and Jace Peterson.
No, it's not, because Andrelton Simmons is no longer with the Braves. They had Jace Peterson playing in the outfield this week. So all three of them most likely will start the season in the minors, but I see them probably all getting called up later this year when the rosters get expanded or even starting next season, so in the new stadium. So that'll be good to keep an eye on their progress, and we'll keep an eye on that too and keep you guys informed on that as well. So as far as the predicted starters so far, Freeman's batting in the 420s. With a couple of home runs, he's looking good, like he's healthy. Ender Inciarte, who is a recent addition in a trade, batting around 400, doing really well in the outfield deal. Jeff Francoeur hitting in the 260s, you know, hanging in there. And Nick Markakis is about hitting about 250. I don't think he's got a whole lot of playing time yet, but he's healthy this year. He's actually hit a home run, too. Emilio Bonifacio, who is recently picked up in a trade, batting 580-something right now. So, I mean,
that's crazy.
He's tearing it up. And Adonis Garcia, who's probably going to be your third baseman, batting in the 330s. A.J. Pruszynski at 375. So, I mean, you know, we're more than a week, you know, about a week and a half or so into spring. A lot of these averages are obviously going to drop, especially after some of the teams weed through some young starters that just aren't going to make the cut. So
after the show this evening, that you can turn over and catch them. They're doing their first broadcast, I think, on the major network of the Braves Radio Network.
Oh yeah, that's right. You'll
we're not covering check them out. Because we've got a better show on. It's called the Gemini Ransom.
There you go.
Much better.
So, like I say, we'll continue to monitor the progress of each leading up to the April 4th opener against Washington, and also July 3rd. This is pretty cool. On July 3rd, the Braves and Marlins are going to play the first Major League Baseball game inside an active military base. So that's going to be pretty cool to watch. They're going to play at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, in a 12,500 seat capacity ballpark.
Wow.
This is all in support for the military. The field that's being built is being built with funding from Major League Baseball and the Players Association, and the park's going to be converted to a softball field and a multi-purpose facility after the game's over. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That's going to be a pretty cool event. I'm sure they're going to have, you know, special uniforms and all kind of good stuff. So, hey, last one real quick.
All right.
And this one I love, man. It's an NBA story. I know y'all are.
We're on the edge of our seats.
David. I need
David
you to calm,
especially.
He's excited about the NBA story.
Just
so just
down.
Be ready.
Michael Jordan
calm
coming
down.
Back?
No, I wish.
Oh, Scottie Pippen's going to play again?
No.
There's a reunion.
I give you one better.
Dennis Rodman. Yeah.
I'll give you one better. He supports Donald Trump. Steph Curry. Do y'all know who Steph Curry is?
Yeah, absolutely.
You should. I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure, man. You scared me there for a second. Steph Curry, who's the NBA MVP. He's got a ring from last year already. Won the finals with the Golden State Warriors. He's the son of Del Curry, NBA star from back in the day. You know, one of his big endorsements is from Nike. Okay. So, are you with me?
I'm with you.
Yep. I'm in there.
from Nike. So Steph Curry expressed interest to Nike for Nike to design a shoe expressing his Christian faith. You know, something that maybe had a Bible verse or something on it. You know, a cross, whatever. Nike said no. They would not do that.
Yep.
Really?
They wouldn't do it. You know, we talked about before, remember when Tim Tebow played in his Black Eye tape, he would write a verse, a Proverbs.
He would write
John 3:16
yeah.
or Philippians. He would write on there. And since then, they've come out with a rule saying you can't do that. You know, it's just against the rules, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So Steph Curry said, all right, well, instead of me writing it on my shoes, I want my Nike to make me some shoes with it on there. Nike said no. So Steph Curry,
being Steph Curry,
told Nike, well, you can have our endorsement contract, and you can take it back, and promptly signed with Under Armour, which agreed to do it for him.
Good for him.
So he terminated his contract with Nike and picked one up with Under Armour. He held to his principles, and everything I've seen on this guy, like I said,
he's a class act.
It's just an absolute awesome. Class act, man. And I'm so happy he's doing well. This guy is a legend in the making, man. I don't know if you've ever seen him play.
He's phenomenal.
If you have not seen Steph Curry play basketball for the Golden State Warriors, he is amazing to watch.
You don't really hear of a lot of basketball players out there where the NBA is talking about changing the 3-point line.
Because of him.
Well,
look at their, 45.
They're unbelievable
at home,
team,
like
man.
That
unbelievable team at home. Yep. They had just a record year last year, winning the championship. I think they lost, 14 games all year last year, something crazy. They're doing it again this year. Just an unbelievable class act, man, Steph Curry. So I thought that was pretty cool. I had to throw that out there.
Awesome. Well,
before you get started,
Sports is dead. Well, hope you guys enjoyed sports. We're going to get back to our political debate.
Political?
Yeah, political debate here from iSideWith.com. And so the first question here for you guys is, or actually this not quite the first question, but the first question in this segment. Should there be term limits set for members of Congress?
Yes. Absolutely.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How about 100%. You, Jackson?
100%.
Yes, I do. I think different areas of levels of government should have that. I think every one of them should have a term limit, but I think some can be longer than others. I think the Senate should be the same as the president, for sure. Congress, definitely.
I think, yeah.
I think we should always be continuously changing over. But I think, you know, the president can only do so many terms. But I think...
2 terms.
I think, you know, the House of Representatives, you have local... you have local government that they should have opportunity to run for more offices.
Right.
But I think there should be a limit to it. You know, I think it should maybe be 3 or 4 times they get to do it on the local level.
Right.
But as you get higher up into the Senate and, you know, into the Congress, I think it should be the same as president, and you should always be changing.
Well, here's the thing about it. To me, it's not a career.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
not a career. If you're going for the right reason, which is to represent your area, then you should do that for your area. There's so many people that have been in the Senate or Congress for 20 plus years, you know, and they're just sitting there. They go into Congress with nothing. A lot of these people do. And then when they finally retire, they're multi-millionaires. And the reason being is they go in, they get in bed with special interests, they get in bed with the companies that are trying to get things passed in their own best interest, and what do? They pay them off. And they pay them off. So they go in and they propose a bill that favors that company, and they continually stay in bed with them. If it's changed over every, whatever it is, 4 years, 8 years, one of the two, you eliminate a lot of that. Reason being is because once that person leaves office, if that special interest wants to come in and build a relationship with the other person that's been elected, he's got to start all over again.
That's right.
Some people are going to take it, and some people won't. So it's something to keep everything fresh. Keep new people in there with fresh ideas that can get some things done.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, your devil's advocate on that is, well, what if you have somebody in there that's really, really, really good, that's working for the people? Well, you know, unfortunately, it's just like with president. You know, if you have somebody that's really, really, really good, that's president of the United States, that's working for the people, there's still term limits. It's still 8 years.
Still term limits.
And
You've got good presidents and bad presidents.
I think for House and Senate, it should be 8 years. So, you know, your House gets elected every 2 years. Senate gets elected every four. So, eight years total, that's it.
And then if they're going to do 8 years, they have to be reelected to serve that second 8 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to go. Well, you have to go through the stuff to go through your to get reelected. Absolutely.
You know, of course, we're right now in the hype of the political arena, folks. With a presidential debate, it always garners more people coming out to the polls, etc. But if people would exercise their right to vote and be an informed and educated voter, then term limits would be self-sustaining from throwing the people out of office by not reelecting them.
I agree.
I mean, that works in theory. I think the problem,
and unfortunately, that's all it works in.
Well, exactly, and I think the problem with that is the way that the voting districts are laid out in a lot of cases, to where, you know, that's just not even, you know, some of these candidates, when they come up for reelection, it's not even a concern for them. Because of the way that the maps are laid out, so which I think they have designed, a lot of those maps have been designed to favor certain parties.
Well, so that's perfect, because our next question is: should the redrawing of congressional districts be controlled by an independent, nonpartisan commission?
I think it should be.
Every time.
It should definitely be. Everything. Yeah. But
I completely agree.
What you got to, you know, and the simple answer to that question is yes. You know, but what you got to look at in that thing, too, is people are going to find ways to persuade it because it's important. But I think it should definitely be a third party, entity that redistricts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I completely agree. Okay. So we're going to get out of there, and we're going to go into electoral issues.
Ooh.
Okay, so this is the big one that's kind of hot and heavy right now, and it comes up every time you're dealing with elections.
Isn't there a pill for that?
There probably is.
Electoral.
I hold in my hand a red pill and a blue pill. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. Oh, you said electoral.
Electoral.
Oh, my bad. I misheard. I'm sorry. Carry on.
Should a photo ID be required to vote?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why wouldn't it be?
Why is that even a question?
Who are you? Where do you say you live? Do you have a photo ID to prove that? Yes, I do. No, I don't, because I'm illegal. Okay, you can't vote.
I am an American citizen.
I kill you.
Prove it.
I cannot prove it.
I can't, but I can't afford a photo ID. And it's cost
whatever,
money.
Whatever.
How did you drove here? So you're telling me you're driving illegally?
No, I got a ride.
Okay, I'm just saying.
If you'll start campaigning heavier for Bernie, he'll get you one free.
Golly,
that's right.
I just don't understand.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
It blows my mind that this is even an argument. You know, this is that in our country, this is even an argument that you have to prove that you're a citizen to vote. Yes, you have to prove that you're a citizen. Show me your driver's license to show me and make sure you are who you say you are to vote.
Jim, it's funny because, and I hate to interrupt, you've got the situation, whether you support it or not, the issue of having a photo ID to vote or not. How can one particular party deem that as being racist? Because you know what I'm talking about. They say, oh, it's racist against our black voters because they don't, you know, some of them don't have IDs anymore.
And go get them.
It's not a racist issue.
It is, because the unfortunate thing is all... Although that side of the fence on the, and it's usually on the Democrat side, all they have to do is start screaming racism in an issue, and because they know everybody will start backing up then, because everybody's afraid to hear that. And I'll tell y'all, like I tell everybody else, the only reason that racism is still around or it's even talked about, and people like Al Sharpton and Louis Farrakhan and all these people are still around, is because it sells. Farrakhan. It sells. Racism sells.
They wouldn't have a job without it.
They would be completely irrelevant if they didn't take everything to the media and turn it into something racist.
See,
and it sells. Everybody buys the t-shirts and buys into this and buys into that. And it, as long as people keep buying into it, it's never going away.
It's prejudice and bigotry. It's not really racism. I don't think anybody out there in today's society
can't define it.
Really it's, believes right. that racism is the inherent superiority of one race over another, which is the definition of racism.
Right.
People don't believe that. There are prejudices and bigots out there in the world,
well, sure.
and that's all capped under the racist cloud.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, and none of it's going anywhere as long as people like that are around.
At the end of the day, for most of your states, they offer a free photo ID, and all you have to do is be able to get there. Go get your free photo ID and go vote in the state elections.
Do we have to offer a free photo ID? Why?
That's
what they do. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
That is what makes me freaking furious.
You think it's not that it should be free? They should pay $15 or $20.
You have to pay for it. Offer it.
Well, no, because people that don't drive need to really have something.
They need to have ID.
You can't go to the bank without an ID. Well, if you don't want them to have an ID, how are they going to get an ID?
Yeah, even if you don't have a driver's license, you can still go get an ID,
a state ID card.
But you got to pay. You're going to have to pay for it.
You do pay for it. It's not free in Georgia. I don't know about other states, but it's you
it shouldn't be free anywhere.
Georgia.
We shouldn't have to provide anything for free just because you don't have the economic status to get it,
or that you don't want to pay,
or
for
or you
it.
Don't want to pay for it.
I don't know. I like my free peanut butter fudge and muffins.
Well, no, we all like to have stuff like that for free. We all want those types of amenities and everything. And I get it, but to complain about it and then we offer something up to the complaint is just giving in to the problem, and that's it.
The reality for everybody is this. There's no such thing as something that's free. Somebody had to pay for it. Somebody had to pay for it. It may be free to you, but somebody out there has paid for it.
But the problem, is they don't care.
Right.
As long as it's not coming out of their pocket, they don't care. They don't care about where it came from, how it got there, what the repercussions are of. They just don't care. It's a moral compass issue, is what
all right,
it is.
We're going to move on. We're going to go to foreign policy issues.
Mm.
So should the U.S. accept refugees from Syria?
No,
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 no, no, not at all.
Not and it's
Why put a country on it? Should they accept
should
refugees?
They accept refugees? Period. Okay, how's that?
Well, I'm going to stick with the question of Syria, and the reason why I'm going to stick to it is because. It's too simple for terror groups like ISIS or whatnot to blend in with these people, and we have no way of vetting them before they come into this country. And until we get find a way to vet these people before we let them into the country,
well, there is no way to vet the people.
Well, I mean, that may be the case. If that's the case, then it is what it is. But until we can at least look into it and try to come up with a way to do it, then absolutely not.
Jack Bauer can do it in less than 24 hours.
That's because Jack Bauer's the man.
That's right. So, you know, here's what I think. I think for a lot
it
of...
It doesn't matter what you think.
Asshole.
Jabroni.
Jabroni.
Take my size 7 foot, stick it straight up your candy ass.
Wow.
David that just came out of nowhere.
If you smell what the Jackson is cooking.
That's right.
Smell.
He was doodling over there.
Hey, this is how I stay focused.
Doodle, doodle.
This is a little trick I was taught.
All right, so we got two no's. Where are you at on this, Devin?
I'm at no on there too. But
it's about time.
Yeah,
about time.
So, I think when any time of your immigrants that have come into the U.S., I think it should be just and you know I know I go in I reference China a lot. But it's kind of interesting, and I think they're kind of doing it right. Even though they're a communist country, I think they're doing it right as far as the people that are there legally in China. And what they do is you have to go in every so often. If you're a visitor, you have to go in. You have to if you're going to a different city, you have to go in. You have to check in with the local municipality there.
Is Darby still considered a visitor?
You know he's still a resident.
So he's got a green card.
He's a resident. He's a resident alien. That's there in China. He's what's referred to as an expat. But you know, he does have to go. He does. You know, every so often they have to go out of China, out of the country, get their visa stamped, get their passport stamped, and come back in. And I think those are some takeaways that I think the United States could take away from China, too.
So what I heard from all that is Devin supports communism.
Yeah, whatever.
I heard that. That's what I heard.
Either way, whatever. however you want to read into this thing, I'm not a Bernie Sanders supporter, but however you want to read into that, we still got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish up here, and we're going to talk about a car show that GRE with Triple D is sponsoring as well. So you've been listening to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM, WJBB.
This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.